third planet from the sun. A tiny blue sphere spinning for a moment in time. A remarkable place that was kind enough to yield just the right elements to sustain a phenomenon called life. Where each creature is as unique as this world we call home. And a day begins in much the same way for all. Maybe that's when it crosses your mind. In the warmth from a ray of sun, or the kindness of a stranger, it occurs to you how one life touches so many others. And you begin to see how all things are connected, like the blood that unites one family. And you come to realize that mankind did not weave the web of life. We're merely a strand in it. And whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. On the third planet from the sun.
Denmark went bankrupt in 1813. Why is this story so important for now? Well, when I first heard it, it had all of the elements of what we're experiencing today. It had systemic breakdown, it had people in fear, it had things needing to change because they weren't working, but nobody could see exactly how. It had all the elements that spoke to me of the current crisis we're in Greece and Spain and other places. And I thought to myself, a story with these potent elements, which actually leads to a fundamental innovation and possibility, has something to say to us today.
We sat down and tried to distill and organize the conditions for a paradigm shift. And I think first learning from that is this is a super complex thing.
Time of crisis, you feel like you want to maybe to be a part of something bigger. You want to disappear, become a part of the movement you're talking about as well.
They didn't just have conversations around how can we, you know, how can we build an educational system. They built it. They didn't just talk about how could we do a cooperative there. That was, you know, they did it.
Everybody knows something needs to happen. It's a point of realization.
We don't have to be afraid of the crisis. It's an opportunity for us to rise up and become each of us a little bit more conscious every day. And the more conscious we become, the more easy it is to accept the other and not judge the other.
A lot of these things would not have happened if somebody hadn't kind of put the action behind all these conversations. It's something we need to remember as a community as well, that we harvest and we speak together and we get into deep conversations. But without the action to support whatever we come up with, nothing is going to happen.
The past is there to teach us. It's the old idea of the karma. The karma is there to live through it so that we can learn from it. The next time we go around, then we do something better. Our forefathers went through this. It's their karma that they left for us to learn from it and to do better.
So the question now is, what could lead us to a new golden age? When we looked at these videos, you're invited to actually co-create our future. When we say, what is this golden age? I have to remember translation. What is this golden age? It is not something that is only outside, but it's also something that happens within us.
看完这部小小的纪录片，那问题就出来了：我们如何能够再打造一个新的繁荣盛世呢？那么您也被邀请来参与创造，就您也是被邀来参与创造未来的一份子。那么这个繁荣盛世呢，不仅只是指外在的繁华，而是也是指内在的一种状态。
So I quote again from one of the speakers in the clip, Dr. Evren Laszlo, who is a Nobel Prize nominee. What he said is, the past is here to teach us. It is the old idea of the karma. Karma is here, is there. We live through it so that the next time around, we can do something better.
那么我用刚刚影片当中一位演讲，一位采访被采访者是一个诺贝尔提名者所说的话来解释，就是说，过去是用来教导我们的，业是一个很古老的一个概念，我们的祖先经历过很多事情，然后这是他们的业，经历过这些事情是为了能够在下一次当同样的情况出现的时候，我们能够做出更好的反应。
So our forefathers went through this. It is their karma that they left for us now, in this planet. And it is for us to learn from these karma, from what they left for us, and to do better.
所以我们的祖先已经经历过这一切，现在生活的这个地球，这个状况是他们所留给我们的。然后我们就是接过手，然后在经历过同样的状况下的时候， 能够反应得更好。So
actually the question I would like to pose is, what is it that we actually leave behind on in this planet? What is it that we leave behind?
所以我想要问的一个问题是，那么我们留给后代什么？我们到底留给这个地球什么？
What kind of karma do we leave behind for our future generations?
什么样的业我们要给我们的后代留下一种什么样的业呢？
Most people think that it is the things that we build and the things that we buy and we buy and we buy.
很多人会认为我们留给我们后代的是我们创造的东西或者我们所购买的东西。And
then we leave these things to our children and then to our children's children and to their children's children.
然后我们就把这些东西留给我们的孩子，然后我们的孩子又把这些东西留给他们的孩子。 孩子的孩子就这样子孙后代流传下去。Right,
and we call these heirlooms and legacies.
然后我们就说这些是遗产，是一代代传下来的。But
actually, the real legacy that we leave behind.
但实际上，真正我们留下的遗产
is actually this planet and the kind of people living on it.
实际上，我们真正留下来的遗产是这个地球以及在地球上生活的人。So
good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and Fashis.
各位大家早上好。It
is my honor to spend this morning with you, the day before Earth Day.
今天很荣幸能够在地球日的前一天和大家来到这里。To
share with you my experiences of what Buddhism means to me.
跟大家来分享佛教对我而言意味着什么。
So you hold in your hands a beautiful invitation.
所以在你的手中呢，有一份美好的邀请。
To remember that it is possible to live your life with the wise and tender heart of a Buddha.
这份邀请就是，请记住，您也有一颗智慧柔软的心来度此一生，这是有可能的。
Let me ask you a question. When you hear the word Buddha, what comes to mind?
让我问你一个问题。当你听到佛这个字的时候，你会想起什么呢？
Anyone?
有没有人愿意说一下？
Liberation?
自由。
Knowing?
知道。
Awakening?
觉醒。
Brightness.
Okay. Peace. 和平。
Okay. So all of this is right. They're all elements of what a Buddha means. But actually, it simply means awake or awakened.
刚刚大家说这些答案呢都是正确的。但是简单的来说呢，佛就是意味着觉者，觉的意思。
Right, it does not refer to a particular historical person.
它并不一定特指是历史上的某个历史人物。
It does not really mean a specific philosophy.
并不一定是特指某一种哲学。
Nor is it a specific religion.
也不一定是特指某一种宗教。
It actually refers to your own mind that is not asleep, but really awake.And that is beyond your imagination. It's brilliantly clear, open, spacious, full of excellent qualities that you have just mentioned, like unconditional love, compassion, wisdom, that sees things as they truly are.
佛其实是可以说可以用来指你的心是怎样一种状态呢？是你的心是一颗没有沉睡的心，是一种警醒的心，是超乎你想象的。明亮清澈空旷充满了无条件的爱充满了慈悲智慧能够清楚地看到事物本质的这样一种心
So the mind is never dull or confused
所以这样一种心是从来不会感到沉闷或者困惑的
And it's never distressed by the doubting fears and emotions that often torture us
也不会因为疑问害怕和还有各种各样困扰我们的情绪呢所苦闷
So true mind is a mind of joy free from all sufferings that is who you really are
所以真心呢是一种快乐的状态是一种远离各种各样痛苦真实的是你真实的自己的这样一种状态
But this does not mean that your mind just sits there being perfect and doing nothing
但并不是说你的这种真心的状态就是坐在那边一动不动的就这样很完美什么也不做
It is at play all the time and it is always creating your world
实际上是时时刻刻都在运作在创造着你的世界
So if this is true then why isn't your life and the whole world perfect
那么如果我刚所说都是事实的话那为什么你的生活整个世界不是那么的完美呢
Why aren't you happy all the time?
你为什么不是一直都开心呢
How could you be laughing one minute and the next second in despair?
为什么你会一会儿笑一会儿哭呢
So why would awakened people argue, fight, lie, cheat, steal, and go to war?
为什么这种具有真心品质的人也会吵架打斗撒谎欺骗偷东西然后去打仗呢
The reason is that even though the awakened state is the true nature of the mind most of us don't see it Why?
原因就是因为即便我们每个人都具有真心的本质我们心的本质是真心但实际上是我们真心的本质是能够觉醒的这样一种状态的心但是大部分的人像我们这样大部分的人是能看不到这颗真心的为什么呢
Something is in the way
有些东西阻碍了
Something is blocking our view of it.
有些东西蒙蔽了我们的观点。
Sometimes we see bits and pieces of it here and there.
有些时候我们似乎看到了在这里那里都有一点。
But then the moment when we see it, something else pops into our mind. What time is it? Is it time for lunch? Oh, look, a butterfly. Oh, look, there's Bill. Hi, Bill.
但是当我们要见到真相那一瞬间呢，总是会有一些东西呢会跳到我们的脑海里，比如说现在几点钟了，是不是该吃午饭了，哦，你看那里有只蝴蝶，哦，我看到比尔坐在那边， Hi, Bill.
And then our insight is gone.
然后呢我们刚刚想要见到真心那个见解就不见了。
So it's like catching a feather on a fan.
就像用一个风扇去捕捉一根羽毛。
So how do you do that?
你会怎么做呢？
A slight movement when you don't pay attention, slight movement of your hand, and the feather flutters away.
就像你用扇子去捕捉羽毛，你手一动呢，轻微的一动，这个羽毛就飞走了。
So that's our mind.
所以那个状态就是我们现在心的状态。
So ironically, what actually blocks your view of your mind's true nature, what we call your Buddhist mind, is also your own mind.
所以非常具有讽刺性的是，那个阻碍了你能够见到你自己本性真心，我们也说菩提本性的佛性，能阻碍了你见到你自己佛性的那个东西呢，其实也是你的心。
It's the part of your mind that is always busy. It's constantly involved in a steady stream of thoughts, emotions and concepts.
那是阻碍你见到佛性的那种心呢，是也是你自己心的一部分，是你怎样一种状态，是你时时刻刻都在忙碌的，不停的在被思想啊情绪啊各种概念的意识流所控制，那颗心。
Right, this busy mind is who you think you are.
而这个繁忙的忙碌的不停的在想东西各种各样概念的那颗心呢，正是你被抓取为认为是你自己的那个部分。
So it's easier to see, like the face of the person standing right in front of you.
所以，看到站在你面前那个人的脸是比较容易的。
Right. Let me raise an example. The thought you're thinking about right now is more obvious to you than your awareness of that thought.
比如说我来给你一个例子，你现在正在想什么？意识到你现在正在想什么是？比起你意识到你正在思考是更容易的。
So when you get angry, you pay more attention to what you are angry about than to the actual source of your anger, to where your anger is coming from.
所以当你生气的时候呢，你可能比较容易关注的是你正在生气什么，而不是关注到你生气的源头是什么，你这个怒气是从哪里来的。
So in other words, you notice what your mind is doing, but you don't see the mind itself.
所以换句话来说，你可以注意到你的心在干什么，但是你看不到心本身。
You identify yourself with the contents of this busy mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your ideas, and end up thinking that all of this stuff is me and how I am.
你会认同，你会将你忙碌的思想，你会将你忙碌的心所做的事情，比如说他的念头，你的心所起的念头、感觉、情绪、想法，这种心忙碌的内容，当作是你自己，认同为你自己，然后结果就会想啊，这个就是我，这个就是我，我就是这样一个人。
So when you do that, it's like being asleep and dreaming, and believing that your dream images are true.
所以当你这样做的时候，就好像在沉睡，在做梦的时候，并且相信你梦的景象都是真实的。
So if, for example, you dream that you're being chased by a menacing stranger, it's very scary and real, right?
比如说，就好比你在做梦的时候，如果你梦到你被一个非常凶狠的陌生人在追赶，这个恐惧的感觉是非常真实的。
However, as soon as you wake up,Both the stranger and your feelings of terror are gone, right?
但是当你醒来的时候，这个陌生人和你害怕的感觉都不见了，是不是？
Right, but then your heart is racing.
但是你的心跳，你心还是在蹦蹦的跳。
Right? So, and then you feel great relief. Oh, it's only a nightmare.
然后呢，你松了一口气，哦，原来这只是个噩梦。
So furthermore, if you know you're dreaming in the first place, then you may not have experienced any fear.
所以说如果你一起开始就知道你是在做梦的话，那么你可能就不会感到害怕了。
Just like, you know, if we watch movies. I love horror movies. You know, when you watch this and it's so suspenseful and you're just about to die from suspense. But then again, I mean, you don't feel fear, but you just feel adrenaline.
就好像我们在看电影，看恐怖电影。我特别喜欢看恐怖电影，刚看到将要被杀的那一刻。你不会感到害怕，因为你知道那个是电影，是不是真实的？但是你的各种情绪会被调动起来，
还是会很紧张，
很紧张。
Okay, so in a similar way, in our ordinary life, we're like dreamers, believing that the dream we're having is real.
所以相同的，在我们日常生活中，我们就像一个做梦的人，并且相信梦里的我们所发生经历的事情都是真实的。
We think we're awake.But we are not.
我们认为我们是醒着的，但实际上我们不是。
We think that this busy mind of thoughts and emotions is who we truly are.
我们认为这忙碌的心，这颗忙碌的心，这个充满想法情绪的忙碌的心就是我们。
But when we actually wake up, this misunderstanding about who we are, the suffering that confusion brings will be gone.
但是当我们真正觉醒的时候，这种由于困惑，这种由于不清楚困惑所带来的痛苦，误解我们是谁的这种痛苦和误解就会消失了。
So the Buddhist spiritual path is described as a road to freedom. We need to ask, freedom from what? What does freedom look like?
所以佛教灵性的道路呢，也常被描述为是一条通向自由的大道。但是我们需要问一下，是从什么中解放出来呢？这个自由又看上去又像什么呢？
So, sometimes we think that freedom simply means being free of any outside control.
所以有时候我们认为自由就好像简单就是说不受外界的控制。
We're free to do whatever we like and when we like.
我们可以自由自在做我们喜欢做的事情，而且在做我们什么时候喜欢做就做。
Or maybe we think that it means free expression of our feelings.
或许呢，我们认为自由就意味着我们可以自由自在地表达自己的情感感觉。
But then these kinds of freedoms are only partial.If they're not accompanied by intelligence or basic good sense, we could end up just acting impulsively, letting our emotions off the leash. I think we've experienced this, right?
但是这种类型的自由啊，只是很片面的。如果它没有智力或者常识的伴随和控制的话，我们可能只会一时冲动，凭冲动而做事，就像脱缰的野马一样。
So we might be free to shout at people.Or stay out all night, indulging in our appetite for excitement and sensation. But we're certainly not in charge, and we are not free.
我们可以随心所欲地 冲人家大喊大叫，或者整晚就放纵自己欲望，刺激感官感受。
So we may feel temporarily energized.And liberated by this kind of freedom, but the feeling is actually short-lived, and it's usually followed by more pain and more confusion.
像这种自由，我们或许会暂时的感到快乐，感到非常充能量，非常充满能量。但是这种一时的快乐是非常短暂的，而且通常快乐之后会有更多的痛苦和更多的困惑。
We may also think that freedom means having a choice.
我们或许就会认为呢，自由就意味着我们是有选择的。
We're free to choose what to do with our lives, what to do with our time, and what to do with our money.
我们可以自由自在选择如何对待我们的生活，选择如何对待我们的时间，如何对待我们的金钱。
We may choose wisely or foolishly, but it is our choice.
我们可能会有很智慧的选择，或者做出一些很愚蠢的选择，但这些都是我们自己的选择。
So this so-called freedom, however, is just a facade when we make the same choices every day, do the same things over and over, and react in the same ways.
所以这种所谓的自由呢，实际上只是我们每天重复的做着同样的选择，做着同样的事情，一遍又一遍的反应，用同样的方式去反应对应生活的一面而已。
Our actions are equally predictable. When we look beneath the surface to see what is really going on, why we're unhappy, we see the same storyline repeating again and again.
所以我们的行为呢是非常有预见性，可以被预见的。当我们真正的看到表层以下到底正在发生什么的时候，为什么我们不开心？我们会看到同样的故事在一遍又一遍的被重演。
So for example, if we fight with our boss at work, we probably fight at home with our spouses and maybe our kids.
比如说，如果我们在工作的时候跟老板吵架，或者跟老板不开心的话，那回到家里可能也会和我们的配偶或者我们的子女生气，不开心。
It sounds familiar?
是不是大家有没有这种经历？
So we struggle here and there with our life in the same unconscious patterns of aggression, desire, jealousy, or denial until we are caught in the web of our own making.
所以我们就是在这样不察觉的啊争斗、欲望、嫉妒和否认这种模式当中一遍一遍的运作，在挣扎，在我们的生活中挣扎着，直到我们被各种各样自己所编织的网深深的困住。
So let me apply a real life example here.
让我告诉你一个真实的故事。
5 years ago, I started on a roller coaster spiritual journey.
五年前呢，我开始了一个过山车般的灵性旅程。
Some of you here, Bill, Harry, Robert, 郭禅法师 witnessed my journey.
我们在座的有一些菩萨还有国产法师亲历了我这一个过程。
So I went off to the mountains at upstate New York DDRC for a series of retreats over those years.
所以在这些年之间呢，我经常到 DDRC 纽约上州禅修中心去参加各种禅修活动。
These retreats rocked my world views.
而这些禅修经历呢，震撼了我的世界观。
I spent a lot of time thinking and talking about my own life.
我会花很多时间来谈论我的人生。
At one point, I realized that I don't know how to be my own best friend.
在某一刻呢，我突然意识到，我并不知道如何成为自己最好的朋友。
When I realized that, a huge wave of sadness washed over me, and I broke down sobbing.
当我意识到这一点的时候，有一阵悲伤涌上心头，我会忍不住的哭泣。
I was the furthest thing away from my own best friend.
我离成为我自己的好朋友是最远的。
I was continually harassed by an inner judge who was merciless, who was relentless, nitpicking, driving, often invisible, but always on the job.
实际上呢，我内心不时不刻无时无刻的不被一个内在的法官，一个无情的狠心的吹毛求疵的而又无时无刻不在的隐形的内心的法官在评判着。
I knew I would never treat a friend the way I treated myself without mercy or kindness.
我知道我不会，如果我对待一个朋友的话，我不会像他对待我自己这样的方式，因为我对待自己是没有同情心又没有仁慈。
My guiding assumption was something is fundamentally wrong with me.
我当时最基本的假设就是我出了一些问题，有一些很根本的问题。
And I struggled to control and fix what felt like a basically flawed self.
所以我挣扎着想要去控制，想要去试图去解决这个我认为本质上是有缺陷的一个自己。
I drove myself in academics, was a fervent worker, and devoted myself to a very full social life.
所以我逼迫我自己呢去参加，我逼迫我自己投身于各种学术啊，然后是成为一个非常热情的工作者，投身于各种各样的社交活动中。
I avoided pain but I created more with an addiction to work and a preoccupation with achievement.
我用这种工作成瘾或者各种各样成就来充实自己，来回避痛苦，但实际上却创造了更多的痛苦。
So internally I was actually anxious, driven, often depressed. I didn't feel at peace with any part of my life.
所以在内心中我是非常焦虑的，受驱动的，甚至有些郁闷的，我很难跟我自己和平共处。
I spent a lot of time in the woods, sitting in silence.
所以我花很多时间呢 在静坐 在静语当中打坐。
I began to realize that beneath all my mood swings, depression and loneliness, and my addictive behavior, lurked that feeling of deep personal deficiency.
我开始意识到，在我这些情绪起伏、郁闷、孤独，还有各种成瘾的行为的背后呢，潜伏着一种深深的感到个人的自我的不足、不够这样一种感觉。
So I was actually getting my first clear glimpse into a core of suffering that I would revisit over and over again in my life.
实际上，在那个时候呢，我正开始第一次的。看到了，就看到一点点冰山一角，看到了自己最核心的痛苦。以后我会在我人生当中会一次又一次，我会不停的在想。
So while I feel exposed and raw, but I intuitively knew that by facing this pain, I was entering a path of healing.
虽然我感到好像暴露了自己内心最深的痛处，但我直觉性的感觉到，面对这个痛，我才会真正的走上一条。治疗的一个治疗的一个大道。
So throughout the years, these longing drew me more deeply into the Buddhist path.
所以这些年以来呢，这些向往让我引导我更深深的走上了佛教学佛这条道路。
So I found there the teachings and the practices that enabled me to directly face my feelings of unworthiness and insecurity.
我发现在佛教上有很多的方法和他的教义能够使我正面直接面对我这种觉得自己不够好不配不够好还有不安全感这种感觉。
So they gave me a way of seeing clearly what I was experiencing and showed me how to relate to my life with compassion.
所以佛教给了我一种方式可以清楚地看到我自己正在经历什么。让我看到如何让我的生活能够和慈悲相联系。
So the teachings of the Buddha also helped me undo my pain, my painful and mistaken notion that I was alone in my suffering. Sometimes when you're suffering, you feel like it's the end of the world, right?
所以而佛陀的一些教导呢，也帮助我了解我所经历的痛苦。并不是一个人，并不是我一个人。有时候我们却觉得，当我们在痛苦中的时候，好像就像世界末日一样
，right? And sometimes you feel that it's your fault.
啊，有时候你会听到说啊，这是我自己的过错。
So for many of us, actually, this feeling of deficiency is right around the corner.
所以，对我们中的很多人来说，这种感到自己不够不足的感觉是时时比比皆是的。
Right? It doesn't take much.Just hearing of someone else's accomplishment, being criticized, getting into an argument, making a mistake at work to make us feel like we're not okay.
对吧？这种感觉是很容易产生的，不需要太多的解释。比如说，你只要亲耳听到别人的成就，或者被别人批评到，或者跟别人进行一个争吵，或者在工作中犯这么一两个错误。立马会让我们感觉到我们不是很好。
So as a friend of mine actually puts this, she says, feeling that something is wrong with me is the invisible and toxic gas that I'm always breathing.
所以我有一个朋友曾经这么说， 感觉到自己有问题啊，就像是这种感觉，感觉自己有问题，就像是我们一直在呼吸的无形的毒气。
Right, so when we experience our lives through this lens of personal insufficiency, we're actually imprisoned in the illusion of unworthiness.
所以当我们在经历我们的人生是用这种觉得个人的不足啊不够好这种视角去经历我们人生的时候我们就像是被这种永远都觉得不值自己不够好这样一种监狱所困扰住了让一种幻觉所困扰住了
Sounds familiar?
大家觉得有没有跟你贴近的地方
So trapped in this illusion,We're unable to perceive the truth of who we really are.
所以被困在这样一种幻觉当中呢，我们无法真正的察觉和看到我们到底是谁。
Just like I ask you the question when the word Buddha what comes to mind, all the good qualities you forget that you're also capable of those.
就像我刚刚在问大家佛意味着什么的时候，大家有很多各种各样很好答案。我们经常会忘记，其实这种很好的品质我们也具备。
So yet because of our habits of feeling insufficient are so strong, awakening from this illusion not only involves inner resolve, but it's also an active training of the heart and the mind. It requires a lot of work.
正是由于我们感觉到自我不足这种感觉这么的强烈，所以想要从这种幻觉的感觉当中觉醒出来是非常难的一件事情，不仅仅是要我们内心要下定决心，而且还涉及到一系列对自己心性的一种训练。
So these are precisely the things from which we work to free ourselves on the Buddhist path.
所以这些呢，正是我们在佛教灵性道路上所要做的事情。
The habitual patterns that dominate our life and make it hard to see the awakened state of mind.
因为我们习惯性的模式呢主导着我们的生活而这种习惯性的模式阻碍了我们觉醒的真心
So what are we looking for?
所以我们在寻找什么呢
Why do any of us enter a spiritual path today?
为什么今天我们中的任何一个人会进入这个灵性的道路呢
What are we looking for?
我们在寻找什么
Whether our problem is suffering or a desire to know, we're actually living with profound questions every day.
不管我们的问题是我们的人生的问题是我们正在痛苦受痛苦还是我们有一种想知道的这样一种欲望我们实际上每天都跟非常深刻的问题所共存。
Sometimes, you know, you would ask yourself the question,Why do you get out of bed when the alarm goes off at 6:30 a.m.?
比如说你有时候会问自己这样的问题，为什么当闹钟在六点半响的时候，你会从床上起来呢？
Right? What goes through your mind when you turn out the lights at midnight?
当你在半夜关灯睡觉的时候，你的脑子里又会想什么呢？
Right? So our questions get lost in the busyness of our life.
但是我们这种偶尔会出现的问题啊，会在我们忙碌的生活中被迷失掉。
But they never really go away; they're always there.
但那些很深刻的人生问题，它从来不会消失，它一直在那里。
Right? If we can catch them and look at them at odd moments, maybe when you know you're pouring your first cup of coffee in the morning, or that you're waiting at the red light, we can begin to see beyond this life.To life itself.
如果我们有时候能够抓住某个瞬间这样停下来比如说当你在岛上倒第一杯咖啡的时候当你在等红绿灯的时候你能够暂停能够捕捉到这一瞬间而想一想能够开始看到超越这个现实生活的真正的生命的开始
Let me repeat again. We can begin to see beyond this job of life.To life itself.
我们可以开始看到，让我再说一遍，可以让我们可以开始看到超越这个忙碌的现实生活的生活本身。
Right, so It's to find what is your purpose in life.
所以你人生的目的到底是什么？
Not just being busy in this life, but what is your purpose?
你活着的目的不仅仅每天就是这样忙忙碌碌，对不对？你活着的目的到底是什么？
Right, some of you, these questions pop up at odd moments, right?
有时候这些问题会冒出来，对吧？有时候偶尔在某个瞬间。
Okay, so we don't have to wait until life becomes shaky, until we're facing the pain of depression, of disappointment, loss, or the fear of death to ask the questions that are spiritual in nature.
所以我们可以问这样的问题，我们不需要等到我们的生活开始出现一些状况，直到我们要面对郁闷、失望、损失，或者对死亡的恐惧的时候才问这样的问题。
So all we need to do is just to let our questions back in.
所以我们所需做的实际上就是让我们能够有机会问这样的问题。
So to discover your real question, just simply take a time out.
所以要想发现你真正的问题，只要简单的花一些时间。
So stop looking ahead of yourself at where you're going, or backward at where you've been.
所以停止不要看往前看你要去哪儿也不用再往后看你曾经经历过什么
So when you stop there's actually a sense of going nowhere
实际上当你停下来的时候当你的心停下来的时候你突然有一种不知道去哪里当你停下来的时候你有一种不去任何地方的这样一种感觉
You're not rushing towards something
你不会急着赶到某一个地方
And you're notevaluating what happened.
你也不再评估啊发生的事情是什么什么样的。
You are just being.
你只是在那里。
So there's a sense of gap, which is a tremendous relief.
所以就有这样一个空隙让你会感到会巨大的宽慰给你巨大的宽慰。
So you can simply breathe and be who you really are.
所以你可以只简单的呼吸做你自己。
So at the same time, there's a basic sense of what?
那同样的时候呢，也有一个基本的一种，又有一种很根本的一种感觉，在说这是什么。
Maybe that's your first real question.
或许那个就是你第一个真实的问题。
So just be there with that what?
所以就停留在那儿，和那个什么在一起。
With an open mind, that what?Question that comes up is like an open door.
所以那个是什么？是一个很宽广的一个心，就像打开了一个门一样。
So something will come through it.
或许有些东西会出现。
It may be an answer, or it may be another question.
它或许是一个问题，或者是一个问题的答案。
You don't have to do anything, but be there to meet it.
你不需要做任何反应，你只要在那里，跟他在一起就可以。
Just let that sense of wonder, what?
只要让那、awesome. ，sorry， 只要让那种疑问，这是什么？是什么？这样一种疑问在那里。
So in the beginning, we may think that having questions is a sign of ignorance.
所以在刚开始的时候，我们或许会想，有产生问题，好像是一种无知的表现。
Because in our culture.We think that the more questions we have, the more we don't know. And that the more answers we have, the wiser we are.
因为在我们的文化中呢，我们似乎认为你问题越多呢，就表现你知道的越少，就知不知道的多。然后，似乎你什么都知道，你什么都有答案，就好像显得你很聪明。
Right, so it always feels like, you know, when a question comes up, you're always rushing to try to answer it.
就好像有一个问题出现的时候，你总是赶着要去回答这个问题。
Right? Whenever someone poses a question to it, how long does it take for you before you start responding?
就比如说，如果有人问你一个问题的话，你有没有看，有没有觉察到自己又花多长时间去反应
？And then, if you can't answer that question, do you feel discomfort?
如果你不能回答这个问题的话，你有没有感觉到自己不舒服？
So that is culturally ingrained in us that having an answer is smart.
所以呢，这就是我所谓的，在我们文化中呢，我们觉得，有答案能够回答你的问题呢， 是被认为是非常聪明的，这样一种观念是深入人心的。
So real ignorance is not knowing what you don't know.
实际上呢，真正的无知是不知道你不知道。
So when you think you know something you don't, it can lead to a kind of make-believe wisdom, an imaginary sense of knowledge that is powerless to free you from your confusion.
所以当你认为你知道很多东西，你知道一些事情的时候，知道一些事情，但实际上你又并不了解，并不知道的时候，它可能会导致一些很表象的智，所谓的智慧，一种创造出来，一种假想式的知识，而且这种知识呢，又无力使你从你自己的困惑当中解放出来。
So it's just like Shifu teaching the Huatou method. When we're asking the Huatou, we're investigating the mind. Any answers that come out is not the answer.
就像师父在教导我们打花头禅的时候，任何冒出来的答案，对这个问题的答案都是假的，都是要放下的。
Right, as long as our questions are sincere and honest, it's not questions that will make us feel smart or look better.Then the questioning mind opens up the spiritual journey.
所以只要我们的问题是真诚的，是真实的，而不是问这个问题让我们显得更聪明，看上去更好，那么那种能够带有疑惑，带有质问性的心，就可以打开灵性的道路。
You know, I've been to retreats, and then when we're giving interviews,And you can hear from some of these participants. They come in to the interview with a very, very intelligent answer. And then you'll go, okay.
所以呢，我参加禅修的过程当中，有些人呢会带着非常非常智慧智力的一种答案来问问题。就是他来问这个问题，并不是他真的想知道问题的答案，而他不是真的好奇或者真的不知道，他只是想显示他是多么的聪明。
Right, so if the question is sincere and honest, then the questioning mind will open up to your spiritual journey.
所以当你只有真诚的、真心的起了这样的疑惑的时候，而不是已经预设了答案，真正起疑惑的时候，这样一种状态才可以打开你的灵性的道路。
But we must learn to work with our questions skillfully.
但是我们必须学着如何能够和自己的疑惑用善巧的方法共存。
So we go through a process that actually takes time, and it necessarily brings up a lot of doubt and skepticism.
因为我们会经历一个过程，我们正在经历一个过程，而这样一个过程需要时间，而且也会带出更多的疑问或者怀疑。
So doubt that actually leads us to authentic knowledge and confidence turns out to be wisdom at the end.
所以那种会引导我们走向真正的知识和自信的这样一个疑问，最后会变成智慧。
师父说的这种 doubt 就是疑团。Okay, so what are we doing here?
那我们在这里干嘛呢？
On this path, we're searching for meaningful knowledge.
在这条道路上，我们在寻找着有意义的知识。
We want to know who we are and why things happen to us.
我们想知道我们是谁，为什么事情会发生。
So aside from managing to survive until we're put in a nursing home by our children, what are we doing here?
所以我们到底在干什么呢？除了试图生存，试图挣扎着生存，直到我们的小孩把我们放到敬老院去。
Right, so a spiritual journey is primarily one we ask ourselves and process alone.
所以这种灵性的问题，主要是我们自己问自己，然后试图解决这样一个过程。
So just as our answers must come from within,Our questions must come from inside us too.
就正如我们的答案最终还是自己给自己的，是从内心而来的。我们的问题也是来自于内在的。
So they come from the same place.
他们实际上来自于同一个地方。
All our questions are connected with something we already know.
我们所有的问题都可以连接到我们已经知道的一个事情。
So each question will lead to an answer that will lead to a further question and so on.
一个问题呢会连接到下一个问题，然后又会连接到更多的问题。
So as our understanding grows, our questions become clearer and our answers more meaningful. And this is how the spiritual path progresses.
所以当我们的理解力增长之后呢，我们的问题会变得越来越清晰，我们的答案呢也会变得越来越有意义。这就是在灵性的道路上如何的有进展。
Some of our questions can't be answered right away. We must be as patient as scientists, like scientists when they run their experiments and they diligently evaluate and then they verify their findings. And we need to be just as patient.
我们有些问题呢，并不可能被马上被解答，所以我们就要像一个病人或者像一个科学家那样的有耐心。我们就必须要像一个科学家那样的有耐心，就比如说科学家在做实验的时候，他们要一遍一遍实验，并且不断的评估和确认自己的发现。
Just like we cannot fully understand light until we experience dark. Like we don't understand what true freedom is until we become aware of our own suffering.
所以就像我们没有办法真正的了解什么是光，直到我们经历过什么是黑之后，也所以正如我们无法真正的了解什么是真正的自由，如果我们都不能够意识到自己的痛苦。
So a spiritual path is actually an inner journey that begins with the question of who we are and about the nature and the meaning of our existence.
所以这灵性的过程实际上是一个内在之旅，它开始于我们有一些疑问，有一些疑团，我们到底是谁，我们的存在到底的本质是什么，它的意义是什么。
So it's naturally a process of introspection and contemplation.
所以它是一个很自然的一个内省和思考的一个过程。
So although Buddhism can be practiced religiously, because of its emphasis on questioning and working with the mindIt is actually spiritual in nature.
所以虽然佛教可以被作为一种宗教来实行，因为它也放在质疑和它也重点放在质疑和能够和你的心进行沟通的这样一个过程。
So because it relies on logical analysis and reasoning as well as on meditation,So many Buddhist teachers actually regard Buddhism as a science of mind.
但由于佛教它同样也很重视逻辑分析和理论论理，也有打坐，所以很多佛教的老师呢都把佛教认为是一种心灵科学。
So in each meditation session, we gather knowledge about the mind through our observation, questioning, and testing of our own minds.
所以在每一个打坐的一个每一个打坐的一支香呢，我们就会把知识这样总结起来，我们会通过观察、质疑、疑问和测试，是不断的试验来总结积累我们的经验、我们的知识。
So we do this over and over until we gradually develop a deep, meaningful understanding of our own mind.
所以我们一遍又一遍做这个，直到我们能够一点一点逐渐地积累起来对自己心的一种有意义的认识。
And some people may become wary of Buddhism because it gives them so much work to do.
有些人可能会慢慢会厌倦佛教，就是因为佛教会让他们做很多功课。
Why?
为什么呢？
Because they have to ask all the questions, and they have to find all their own answers.
因为他们必须要问所有的问题，也必须要他们自己来找到这些问题的答案。
So in whatever way we label the teachings of the Buddha, whether as a religion or a spiritual path, The body of knowledge that comprises the Buddhist scriptures is not intended to be a substitute for your own questioning process. What this is in the scriptures and the teachings is more like a well-equipped research laboratory where you can find tools of all kinds to investigate your own experience.
所以不管我们把佛教的把佛陀的教义定义为一种宗教或者是一种灵性的道路，或它这个知识的本身呢，这种佛教知识的本身经论的本身，并不是要取代你自己这样一个质疑思索的一个过程，它更像是一个实验室，充满这更像是一个实验室，有各种各样的工具来为你自己进行调查研究，来做准备。
So things as they are.
所以是如实地看到事物本身。
So in Buddhism, we are not trying to look at the physical world by itself. Instead, we're actually looking at the mind and its relationship to the appearances of the world.
所以在佛教里面，我们并不是试图去研究这个物质现象本身，而是我们在看我们的心跟
So we observe the mind and to see what the mind itself is and how it acts in relation to our internal and our external experiences of everything. So from our thoughts to our emotions to actual things.
所以我们观察自己的心，然后看这个心它自己是什么样子的，它又是如何跟我们内在的和外在的环境在进行互动。 从想法、念头和感觉。
So to do this, we actually need a special set of tools that takes us beyond the mind's limitation. So Buddhism actually uses the tools of meditation and a process of reasoning.
所以为了能够做到这些呢，我们需要一些特殊的工具，能够带着我们超越我们目前所受到的局限。 而佛教呢，就会用打坐和推理这样的过程来作为工具。
So looking at the mind, let me share with you an example of my own experience on vulnerability, this illusion of unworthiness.
所以为了研究心呢，让我来给你一个我自己亲身的经历，关于脆弱，关于这种感觉到自己不够好的一种幻觉。
So my mind is speeding frantically, but my body feels heavy and exhausted. I move as if through molasses, completely alone and shadowed by the fear of failure. I'm trapped in my dilemma. Nothing else in the world exists but that.
我的脑子，我的心，我的脑子不停地在转，我的心不停地在疯狂地在想啊，在转啊，但是我的身体呢感到非常的沉重，非常的精疲力尽。我在行动的时候就好像是走过非常粘稠的糖浆一样，举止非常的沉重，然后又感到整个的非常的孤独，感觉到整个就活在自己失败的阴影之下。 我就深深地陷在了自己这样一种困境中，而且实际上好像没有任何其他事情，没有任何东西存在，除了那个好像没有其他任何东西存在。So
this dream actually captures the essence of the illusion of unworthiness. Sounds familiar?
这个梦啊，实际上抓住了一般人感觉到不够好、自己不值这样一种感觉的一种精华，有没有大家觉得是不是觉得很熟悉？
Right, so in our dreams, we often seem to be the protagonists in prescripted dramas, fated to react to our circumstances in a given way.
所以在我们的梦里边，我们经常似乎会看到自己好像是一个预先写好剧本的一个主角，然后注定了对所发生的场景要进行某种反应。
We seem unaware that there are choices and options, other choices and options that might exist.
我们似乎没有意识到，其实还有其他可以选择，其他的可以选择的路去走。It
feels like it's the end of the world.
好像感觉又像世界末日一般。Like
there's no other way to do it. You have no other choice.
好像感觉就我毫无选择，没有其他出路。
So, When we are in the illusion and we're caught up in our stories and fears about how we might fail, we're actually in the same state.
所以当我们在这种幻觉中被我们自己编织的故事恐惧所包围，我们害怕自己会不会失败，我们的心其实就是像在一种状态中。
So we're actually living in a waking dream that completely defines and delimits our experience of life.
所以我们就好像活在一个醒着的梦一样，这个整个的就被这样一种状态整个的局限了我们的生活的经历。
And the rest of the world is merely a backdrop.
而世界的除了自我感觉这样一种不好的感觉以外，世界其他的部分在发生的状态就像一个背景帷幕一样。
Right, we struggle to get somewhere, to be a better person, to accomplish, to avoid making mistakes. As we keep doing this, we forget the rest of the world. It's just us.
就像我们挣扎的要到达某个地方，要成为一个更好的人，或者要获得某些成就，避免犯错一样。
Right, so as in a dream, we take our stories to be the truth, a compelling reality, and they consume most of our attention.
所以就像在梦里边一样，我们会认为我们的故事，我们的人生活非常的真实，是非常真实的一个存在，一个现实。然后它会这样一种感觉会吸引到我们大多的精力。
We forget the rest of the world around us.
我们会忘了世界存在，这个世界生活存在其他的东西。
I'll share a brief example. I think I've shared in my previous talk before. Busy mind. So I was I'm from Canada, so I am a polar bear. I love winter. So 2 years ago, we had a blizzard, and there was a lot of snow.And I was going to the UN for a conference. But my mind was so consumed with planning how to get there, the timing, everything has to be right. I forgot the rest of the world. I forgot to enjoy the beautiful winter day.
所以我跟大家分享一个个人的经历。我来自于加拿大，所以我很喜欢冬天，特别是下雪的时候。有一次我要去联合国去工作。由于我非常的关注怎么去到那里呀，具体去的细节呀，我这么的投入，以至于我都忘了欣赏美丽的雪景。
So sounds familiar?
大家这种情况大家有没有过
？So even when we're eating lunch or when we drive home from work, when we talk to our partners or when we read bedtime stories to our children at night, we continue to replay our worries and our plans all the time.
所以当我们比如说在家人吃饭的时候，在和你小孩玩耍的时候，我们的脑子里不停地放映的就是自己的担心啊、忧虑啊、计划啊。
So in some ways, you know, we feel like we're falling short. It's not good enough that you need to plan and plan and it's still not good enough.
所以有时候你就会感觉到自己好像做的还不够好，就要不停地计划，不停地计划，但计划的还是觉得不够好，就一直在这种一种困境当中。
So feeling unworthy.Goes hand in hand with feeling separate from others, separate from life.
所以感觉到自己做的不够好，也伴随着感觉到自己跟别人分离了，跟生活分离了。
So if we're defective, how could we possibly belong?
因为如果我们不完美，如果我们有瑕疵的话，我们怎么可能属于有一种属于感呢？
Right, it's actually a vicious cycle. The more deficient we feel, the more separate and vulnerable we feel.
这实际上是一个恶性循环。我们越感到自己不足、不够好，我们越感觉到自己的脆弱和跟别人的这种距离感。
So underneath our fear of being flawed is actually a more primal fear that something is wrong with life, that something bad is going to happen.
所以在这种我们感觉到有瑕疵不够完美的这样一种害怕的一种感觉一种恐惧下面，实际上更主要的一种恐惧呢，是我们感觉到这个生活有出了问题，或者有些坏的东西不够好。
So our reaction to this fear is to feel blame and even hatred towards whatever we consider is the source of the problem, ourselves, others, maybe even life.
所以我们对这种恐惧的反应呢，就是感觉到去责怪谁，或者甚至于仇恨，甚至要去仇恨什么。嗯，可能仇恨的对象和感到指责的对象，可能是这个问题的我们认为的源头，可能是我们自己，也可能是他人，甚至可能是生命本身。
So even when we've directed our aversion outwards, but deep down inside, we still feel vulnerable.
所以即使我们把我们这种厌恶之情向外表现出来，在内心深处我们始终感到非常的脆弱。
So our feelings of unworthiness and alienation from others give rise to various forms of suffering.
所以我们这种感觉到不够不足的感觉和跟其他人一种分离的感觉呢，导致了各种各样形式的痛苦。
So for some, the most glaring example is addiction.
对于一些人来说呢，最恐怖的一种表现，最惊恐的一种表现就是上瘾。
Right, so we have alcohol, addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs, addiction to all kinds of unwholesome activities.
比如说我们会对喝酒上瘾啊，或者采用药物啊，或者是对自己一种不是很好的行为的一种上瘾。
So in my case, I developed a crippling addiction to busyness.
所以在我的情对我的个案来说呢，我就是对这种忙碌生活忙碌工作上了瘾。
But actually in reality, I was running away from life.
但实际上呢，我只是在逃避我的生活。
We learn early in life that any affiliation, whether it's with families or it's in friends, whether it's at school or it's at a workplace, it always requires that we have to prove that we are worthy.
我们在生活很我们在很早的时候我们就学会了，不管你是跟家庭、跟朋友，还是在学校或者工作单位、工作场所在一起地方，任何地方都要我们来证明我们是足够好的。
So we're under pressure to compete with each other, to get ahead, to stand out as intelligent, attractive, capable, powerful, and wealthy.
So we have a lot of pressure to compete, to lead, to show ourselves as the most smart, the most attractive, the most capable, the most powerful, the most wealthy.
Basically, is someone is always keeping score.
似乎总有人在计较，总有人在比较。
Right, so after a lifetime of working with the poor and the sick, Mother Teresa's surprising insight, let me share with you what her insight is.
所以呢，当德兰修女在她通过她一生一直在帮助穷困病人的这个过程当中，她说了一个非常有见解的这样一句话。
The biggest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis, but rather it is the feeling of not belonging.
他说，在当今世界最大的疾病啊，不是麻风病或者肺结核，而是感觉不属于什么。
So in our own society, this disease has reached epidemic proportions.
所以在我们当今社会，这种感觉到没有归属感已经达到了一种流行病的程度。
So we long to belong, but feel as if we don't deserve to.
所以我们憧憬着，我们越想要属于某种，属于想要有归属感，但是又觉得自己不够好。
Right. So, but Buddhism actually offers a basic challenge because it gives us the a basic challenge to this kind of cultural worldview.
但佛教实际上给了我们一个基本的对这种文化用这种文化造成的观点的一种基本的挑战。
The Buddha taught that this human birth is a precious gift because it gives us the opportunity to realize the love and the awareness that are our true nature.
这佛陀教导我们人生难得，他给了我们去能够意识到爱的一个机会，能够给我们意识到我们真正的本心。
So as the Dalai Lama had pointed out pointedly, we all have the Buddha nature.
所以正像达赖喇嘛曾经很有感触地指出，我们都是有佛性的。
So spiritual awakening, when we say awakening, or the awakened self, is the process of recognizing our essential goodness, our natural wisdom and compassion.
所以灵性的觉醒就是一个能够意识到我们内在本质的善，我们内在的智慧和慈悲的这样一个过程。
Unfortunately, most of us forgot about that aspect of who we are.
很不幸的是，很多时候我们都忘记了这一块，忘记了自己的这一些特质。
So, how do we manage the sense of inadequacy?
所以我们如何能够处理我们这种不足感，不好，觉得自己不够好的感觉呢？
So we do whatever we can to avoid the pain of feeling unworthy. Each time our deficiencies are exposed, whether it's to ourselves or to others, we react anxiously. We try to cover our nakedness, kind of like Adam and Eve after the fall. And all of a sudden they realize they're naked and they have to cover themselves. We're doing similar things too.
所以为了能够避免升起这种自己啊感觉不够好的这种痛楚啊，我们会做各种各样的事情来解决这个问题。比如说，每当我们感觉到我们自己的不足被暴露的时候，不管是暴露到自己、暴露给自己还是暴露给他人的时候，我们就会立马反应，我们会非常焦虑的试图掩盖这些问题，就好像我们是赤裸裸，就像亚当夏娃犯了错误之后。
So over the years, we develop a particular blend of strategies designed to hide our flaws and to compensate for what we believe is wrong with us.
所以呢，很多年以后，我们每个人都会发展出一套特有的技巧或者特有的战术来掩盖自己的不好不足，来弥补我们所认为的我们的问题。
So we embark on one self-improvement project after another.We strive to meet the media standards of the perfect body and looks, coloring out the gray, lifting our face, being on a perpetual diet.
所以呢，我们就开始各种各样的自我提高的工程，自我提高的项目。比如说，我们会努力的去试图呢，按照媒体所宣传的完美的身体啊，完美的。面容这样一个标准去努力的去做，我们可能会
染头发
OK All right, that's right. 我们会染头发，比如说如果我们有白发的话，我们要把它染黑，对吧？不一定染黑了，染黄也可以然后我们会做面膜啊，然后 lifting off OK 会做整容啊，然后整天就是节食。
So we push ourselves to get a better position at workWe exercise, we take enriching courses to study, to meditate, we make lists, we volunteer, we take workshops.
所以我们在工作中会努力的强迫自己做到一个更好的位置啊，然后我们会运动，我们会参加各种各样的课程来丰富自己，我们会打坐，我们会制定一系列的活动，参加或者做义工，或者参加研讨会之类。
So certainly any of these activities can be undertaken in a wholesome way. I'm not saying all of these are bad, but they can be done in a wholesome way. But often this is actually driven, all these activities are driven by an anxious undercurrent of not good enough.
我刚刚说这些不是说这些活动不好，不是说这些项目自我提高的项目不好，而是说我们经常在这个背后驱动的实际上是一种深深的一种焦虑，感觉到自己还不够好。
So rather than relaxing and enjoying who we are and what we're doing, we're actually comparing ourselves to an ideal and trying to make up for that difference. So that's not good enough.
所以呢，实际上我们时时刻刻的在跟我们在用在把我们自己和我们理想中的完美的形象在做比较，而且试图呢达到这个状态，而不是放松的就能够
活在当下，
对，活在当下，能够跟自己相处，能够接受自己这样一种状态。
Right, so another strategy is that we hold back and play it safe rather than risking failure.
但还有一种技术，还有一种我们会发明出来战略，就是说，退一步而。 宁可自己躲在安全的地方，而不愿意去冒这个风险。
But then the most wonderful part of living, actually involves risks, and mistakes are inevitable.
但实际上，我们生活中最美妙的一些部分，其实会有一些危险，或者是会有犯错误的机会。
So playing it safe requires that we avoid risky situations, which covers pretty much of all of life.
所以宁可安全一点，宁可躲在一个安全地方，会要求我们避免各种各样带有风险的情况。
So we might not take on leadership or responsibility at work. We might not risk being really intimate with others. We might hold back from expressing our creativity, from saying what we really mean, from being playful or affectionate.
所以比如说具体的例子来说，什么叫躲在安全的地带而不愿意去冒险，我们或许就不愿意在工作中，我们就不愿意担任领导啊，或者是有更多的责任，因为这可能会太冒险，会有风险。我们也不愿意跟其他人靠得太近，因为这可能也有风险。我们也不愿意，我们会比较受困难，我们会比较不愿意暴露自己，表达自己非常具有创造性的想法，或者说我们真实想说的话，或者是或者你的本性是非常非常亲密型的，你也不会表达出来。
So we actually, what we do is that we withdraw from our experience of the present moment. We pull away from the raw feelings of fear and shame by incessantly telling ourselves stories about what is happening in our lives.What we usually keep certain key themes going. What we have to do, what hasn't worked for us, what they didn't do for us, what I didn't do for them. It goes on and on and on.
所以我们可能，所以我们就不会活在当下了，我们就会从当下这个状态中退出来，我们为了不再经历这种恐惧，对觉得自己不够好的这种感觉的状态下，我们会不断地告诉自己，现在什么事情正在我们生活中发生，而且这种故事的线总是有一条主题，他总说啊，我们必须要做什么，以前有什么事情没有成功，然后有什么危险可能会在前面，而其他人又会怎么看我，其他人又会怎么样。
So let me share with you, there's an old Jewish joke. Okay, it's a Jewish mother.Who sent a telegram to her son. Now, how many of you here actually know what a telegram is? Raise your hands, who knows what a telegram is?
让我告诉大家一个笑话，这个笑话是关于一个犹太人母亲给她儿子发的一个电报。请大家，其实有多少人见过电报？请大家举个手。
Who knows what is a telegram?
大家知道电报是什么？
Yeah, no, very few. Wow, so we're the next generations.
所以我们就已经新一代了，没有多少人知道电报是什么。
Okay, so a telegram is before we even had the fax, before we had emails, where messages are sent from one machine to another, and it's brought over to the company. I think it's something like that.
Okay, 电报是什么呢？电报是当我们有传真机和邮件之前 ，email 邮件之前的一个从一个信息可以从一台机器到另一台机器，一传过来这样一个东西。
So this Jewish mother sent a telegram to her son.
所以这个犹太人母亲给他的儿子发了一个电报。
Start worrying. Stop.
现在开始担忧。
句号。Details to follow. Stop.
好，具体内容以后告诉你。
Right, 句号 right? So it's start worrying, details to follow. Because we live in a free-floating state of anxiety, we don't even need a problem to set off a stream of disaster scenarios. As soon as this telegram goes to the sun, what happens? I think you all know what happens, right? He does not know what he has to worry, but he's worrying.
所以我们活在一个到处是一种焦虑的一种状态下，我们甚至不需要存在一个很具体的问题来引爆这一系列的一些自己所幻想的灾难。 所以大家可以想象这个儿子收到电报之后他会怎么做，他会立马开始担心，甚至于他都没有具体可担心的事情的时候他都可以开始担忧。
So living in the future creates this kind of illusion that we're managing our life and it steals us against personal failure. We keep busy. Staying occupied is a socially sanctioned way of remaining distant from our pain. So if we stop,We actually run the risk of plunging into an unbearable feeling that we are alone and utterly worthless.
所以活在未来，活在担忧当中呢，是一种我们能够是就是这种幻觉控是一种方式，能够让我们觉得能够让我们始终的忙碌着，能够让我们始终保持镇定，让我们不再感觉到自己是一个人的，或者是不够好的。
Right, so we scramble to fill ourselves. We fill our time, our body, and our minds. We might buy something new to lose ourselves in mind, or we might lose ourselves in mindless small talk. As soon as we have a gap, we go online, we check our emails. And I think now you don't even need to go online to check your emails. You've got your smartphones at any single time. Harry, you know, be checking your emails, and now you've got tweeters and chats and all kinds of stuff. You know, you do anything to help bury the feeling of vulnerability and this kind of deficiency that is lurking in our psyche. That's how we keep ourselves busy.
Mm-hmm. 所以我们有各种各样的方式让我们自己的念头、自己的心时时刻刻、每时每秒保持忙碌。我们会填充自己的时间啊，自己身体啊，我们会买各种新的东西，或者是不停地进行无意义的聊天，就会聊一些小事情。然后如果你的生活当中有一个空隙点的话，我们也会立马上网去查邮件。不过现在我们都不需要上网去，不需要上电脑去查邮件，我们会有手机啊，然后我们上网也可以，还有 Facebook、 Twitter 这种时时刻刻让你充实你，或者是说让你脑子没有一时一刻是可以和自己和当下在一起的状态。
How many of you here actually brings your smartphones or your iPhones into the restroom with you?
我们在座有没有人把这个智能手机带到厕所的？请举手。
How many of you here, the moment you wake up, you're on your smartphone checking for Facebook and Twitters and emails?
我们在座有没有谁从你早上醒过来就时时刻刻的在看，在你手机上看这个脸书啊，还有Twitter？
And how many of you here, as soon as you finish meditating and you're checking your phones?
这里有没有人打坐完立马就要查自己的智能手机的，请举手。
Yes, I have a live example.
我就是这样子。
Okay, because before I go to bed, I'm checking my email. First thing I wake up, I check my email. Isn't that ridiculous?
他说我在睡觉前要查一下 email, 醒过来第一件事就是查 email。
Right, it's as if, you know, it's the end of the world if you don't check your email.
那就好像世界末日，如果你不查 email。
Right, that's how we make ourselves even more busy.
这就是我们怎么样让我们自己时时刻刻不停地忙着。
Right, so that's what we do to try to bury this kind of feeling of deficiency. And then we become our worst critiques. This running commentary in our mind reminds us over and over again we always screw up.And that others are managing their lives so much more efficiently and successfully.
这就是我们用这种方法来麻痹自己，来让自己能够不升起这种感觉到自己不够好、不足，或者曾经做错过什么事情，这样一种方式。
Right. So there are other methods that I'm looking at my time. I'm really running out of time, so I'm going to just briefly talk about it. Another method of doing this is our strategies of dealing with inadequacy is we turn others into the enemy.
Okay. 我们那当然还有一种方式，就是来避免自己产生不足、不好感觉，就是把别人当成自己的敌人。
Right. We demonize the source that made us angry.
我们开始找为什么会自己让自己不开心的理由，把这种理由扩大化。
Right, 把对方变成魔鬼。Right, so sounds familiar? I don't have enough time to go into the details of this, but then, you know, when you turn others into the enemy, we engage in what I would call the process of self-deception.
当你把对方变成魔鬼的时候呢，我会说你开始自我欺骗了。
Right, because directing anger and demonizing an enemy temporarily reduces our feelings of fear and vulnerability.
虽然把对方魔鬼化，把这种生气怪罪到别人的头上呢，暂时的可以让你自己感觉到不会那么脆弱。
Right, but unfortunately, the outcome is when we lash out with hatred and violence, if we make war on ourselves and with each other, we actually end up generating more fear, more reactivity and suffering. That's the irony.
但非常具有讽刺意味的是，当我们把我们这种仇恨、暴力这种都发泄出来。发泄到对方的身上，或甚至于为这些去打仗的时候，我们其实创造了更多的恐惧、痛苦。
Okay, so the other way of reacting too for us to understand is the roots, understanding the roots of illusion. What is this illusion? Taking ourselves as a separate self.
还有一种方式去理解这种不足感的是，我们把这种幻觉根本问题，这种幻觉根本问题在于我们把自己当作是一个独立存在的人。
So the Buddha actually had taught going to the root of our suffering and seeing it clearly was the beginning of freedom.
佛陀曾经教导我们，看到我们根本痛苦的源泉，清楚地看到，实际上是我们开始这个解放之旅的开始。
So what he said, the first noble truth.Suffering or discontent is universal, and fully recognizing its existence is the first step on the path of awakening.
所以他著名的四圣谛的第一条就是说，痛苦和不满是普遍存在的，能够充分的认识到它的存在，实际上是你觉醒之路的第一步。
Okay, so I know I'm seeing...You're running out of time, so I'm going to just go quickly to wrapping this up. But without anxiety about imperfection. So sometimes when I was sharing with people about my own personal stories, many people told me that when they're finally able to see how long their life has been imprisoned by self-hatred and shame, they feel not only grief, but then also a sense of life-giving hope.
由于时间关系，我必须要开始做结语。很多人，就是说如何对待自己的不完美却又没有焦虑。很多人当他们和我分享他们的生活是多么的痛苦，是由于自己有这种想法被自己的羞耻或者是自己仇恨自己这种感觉困扰的时候，当他们说出来的时候，他们不仅仅感觉到不舒服，也有一种宽慰，得到宽慰，得到解放的一种感觉，有一种希望在里边。
So it's like waking up from a bad dream. When we can see our prison, we can also see our potential.
就像你从一个噩梦中醒来，你可以看到我们。如果你可以看到自己被囚禁的监狱的话，你可以也可以看到希望。
So let me quote let me share another quote with you from a renowned 7th century Chan master.Sung Tan. He taught that true freedom is without anxiety about imperfection.
让我来跟你分享一个七世纪的一个禅宗大师，僧灿大师跟我们对真正的自由下的定义，就是说，能够对于自己的不足没有焦虑。
So this means accepting our human existence and all of life as it is.
就意味着能够接受我们的存在，我们现实的存在，还有接受生活，就按照现在生活来接受生活。
So imperfection is not our personal problem, it's a natural part of existing.
所以不完美不是我们的个人问题，而是存在的一个非常自然的一个部分。
We are not only...about fears and wants. That's not who we are only.
我们不仅仅是我们想要什么，我们需要什么。
We are also about all the good qualities you have just listed, compassion, wisdom, liberation.
我们除了这些之外，我们也有很多优秀的品质，就像我们刚刚已经说到的，无条件的爱啊，慈悲啊，智慧啊，我们都有。
So do not associate yourself all the time with just fears and wants. We are more than that.
所以不要时时刻刻都把你自己跟恐惧或者想要什么联系起来。
So that is awakened.
所以那个就是觉醒的状态。
That's our Buddha nature.
那是我们的佛性。
Let me share with you one more quote, sorry.
让我们跟你最后分享一句名言。
Okay, this is actually a great Buddhist master from Cambodia, and he is known as the Gandhi of Cambodia.
这位大师是被誉为柬埔寨的甘地。
And his name is Mahagosananda.
他的名字叫不知道 Mahagosananda.
Okay, so what he taught is that from deep suffering,comes deep compassion. From deep suffering comes deep compassion.
他的著名的名言就是深深的慈悲来自于你很深的痛苦。
It's getting in touch with your suffering.
所以请跟你肯所以请深入的了解你自己的痛苦。
自己的烦恼。So I reached inwards and I touched the source of my own deep suffering.
所以当您向内看，接触到自己烦恼来源的时候，
I realized how I was creating them.
我开始意识到这些烦恼和痛苦都是我自己创造的。
So I began to develop great acceptance towards my imperfections and my fears. I embraced all my strengths and all my weaknesses. And I see that the world and all living beings...with more compassion when I'm able to embrace my own imperfections and my fears.
所以我开始慢慢地培养一种接受，对我自己不完美的接受，这种开始拥抱自己的优点、缺点，看到这个世界和所有其他的众生，用一种慈悲的方式去看这个世界和其他所有的人。
So I hope that sharing my story with you, you will discover that you are your own best coach.And you can be the change leader and do what matters most.
所以我希望今天我和你分享我自己的故事也能够让你发现你自己才是你自己最好的老师，也能够成为一个好的变化的一个领导者，做学着去做最重要的事情。
So what could lead us to a new golden age? The first question that I posed.
所以回到讲座最初我问的一个问题，是什么可以领导我们创造一个新的繁荣盛世呢？
How do you create your own future?
你如何创造你的未来呢？
So you know the answer?
你有答案了吗？
Pardon me? Living in the present, embracing everything of who you are, perfection and imperfection, strengths and weaknesses.Okay, thank you very much for the time.
非常感谢大家。
And thank you, Shimin, for a wonderful translation.